as soon as we open, that doesn't mean you're going to stop with the guidelines. You'll still try and distance yourself, maybe not to the same extent because you have to lead a life. But I think the time is coming. How about one more question? Go ahead, in the back, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Go ahead, please.
I also have two questions because I'm asking on behalf of foreign press as well. So one domestic question, one international. Domestically, you just tweeted the other day saying that it's very important that we totally protect Asian Americans.
Yes, I do. Very important to me.
But still millions.
Very important to me. We have to protect our Asian Americans. It's a very important. That was a very important tweet to me because I didn't like things that I was hearing. Please go ahead.
Well, what's the concrete measure that you're taking to combat the hate crimes against Asians?
Well, I don't know. All I know is this: Asian Americans in our country are doing fantastically well. I'm very close to them, as you know. And they're doing fantastically well, and I think they appreciate the job we're doing. But I did want to put that statement out, the social media statement, because to me, Asian Americans are a great part of our country. Thank you all very much. We'll see you soon. Thank you.
I have two questions for you, Mr. President. On your guidance, thank you. Thank you.
We can do this, America, but it'll take all of us. As the President often says, we're all in this together. But as millions of Americans do their part, with 15 days to slow the spread, putting into practice the President's guidelines for combating the coronavirus and its spread, we grow more confident every day that this too shall pass with the cooperation and generosity and prayers of the American people. I just know that we will slow the spread, we will protect our most vulnerable, and we will heal our land. And now for information on the latest on data and what we're seeing, Dr. Deborah Birx.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. So just as a summary of where it looks domestically, I won't talk so much about the global issues at this time. We do have 19 out of our 50 states, to be reminded, that had early cases but have persistently low level of cases and at this point have less than 200 cases. So that's almost 40% of the country with extraordinarily low numbers. And they are testing. Some of our governors have been very adamant about their need for test kits. We have gotten them test kits. When we had Abbott add about a week ago to the test kits, we've been able to open up additional test kits for states that want to do surveillance and want to do contact tracing. These 19 states are doing still active containment. They're at 200 cases despite the fact that they've been measuring them over the last 3 to 4 weeks. Still, though, 55% of all cases and 55% of all new cases continue out of the New York metro area. That's the New Jersey part and New York part in particular. I haven't added in Connecticut or other counties at this point. We are concerned about certain counties that look like they're having a more rapid increase. When you look at Wayne County in Michigan and you look at Cook County in Chicago. So we have integrated all of our information to not only look at where the cases are today, but how they're moving, so we can alert FEMA to where we think the next potential hotspot is. All of the counties that I've mentioned, the hotspots are in urban areas or in the communities that serve that urban area. And I think that's something very important to remember as we move forward. Because of the innovations within our private sector, we continue to have these new platforms added for laboratory testing. And these become critical platforms for states that have very low rates and very low rates needed to test. Why is that important? Some of these machines have wells and plastic plates that, in order to be effective, you have to put on about almost 96 samples. And others are made for 4 samples or 24 samples at a time. So what's critical for us to be able to do is to match the need to the county and state. And that's the role that we can provide advice on because we get to see across the whole country and where those items are needed most. And so this is allowing us to adapt and adopt really allocation of tests or recommendations to state of what piece of equipment they may need. Of the 550,000 tests, you can do the math, but we're still running somewhere about 14% overall. That means 86% of the people with significant symptoms, because remember, you had to have a fever and symptoms to get tested at this point. So still 86% are negative. These are really important facts for the American people. I'm sure many of you saw the recent report out of the UK about them adjusting completely their needs. This is really quite important. If you remember, that was the report that said there would be 500,000 deaths in the UK and 2.2 million deaths in the United States. They've adjusted that number in the UK to 20,000. So half a million to 20,000. We're looking into this in great detail to understand that adjustment. I'm going to say something that's a little bit complicated, but I'm going to try to do it in a way that we can all understand it together. In the model, either you have to have a large group of people who are asymptomatic, who've never presented for any test, in order to have the kind of numbers that were predicted, to get to 60 million people infected, or of 6 million people infected. You have to have a large group of asymptomatics, because in no country to date have we seen an attack rate over 1 in 1,000. So either we're only measuring the tip of the iceberg of the symptomatic cases, and underneath it are a large group of people. So we're working very hard to get that antibody test, because that's a good way to figure out who are all these people under here and do they exist. Or we have the transmission completely wrong. So these are the things we're looking at, because the predictions of the models don't match the reality on the ground in either China, South Korea, or Italy. We are about 5 times the size of Italy. So if we were Italy and you did all those divisions, Italy should have close to 400,000 deaths. They're not close to achieving that. So these are the kinds of things we're trying to understand. Models are models. We're adapting now to the reality. There's enough data now of the real experience with the coronavirus on the ground to really make these predictions much more sound. So when people start talking about 20% of a population getting infected, it's very scary. But we don't have data that matches that based on the experience. And then finally, the situation about ventilators. We were reassured in meeting with our colleagues in New York that there are still ICU beds remaining, and there's still significant over 1,000 or 2,000 ventilators that have not been utilized yet. Please, for the reassurance of people around the world, to wake up this morning and look at people talking about creating DNR situations, do not resuscitate situations for patients. There is no situation in the United States right now that warrants that kind of discussion. You can be thinking about it in a hospital. Certainly many hospitals talk about this on a daily basis. But to say that to the American people, to make the implication that when they need a hospital bed, it's not going to be there, or when they need that ventilator, it's not going to be there. We don't have an evidence of that right now. And it's our job collectively to assure the American people that it's our collective job to make sure that doesn't happen. Right now, you can see these cases are concentrated in highly urban areas. There are other parts of the states that have lots of ventilators and other parts of New York State that don't have any infections right now. So we can be creative. We can meet the need by being responsive. But there's no model right now, I mean, no reality on the ground where we can see that 60 to 70% of Americans are going to get infected in the next 8 to 12 weeks. I just want to be clear about that. So we're adapting to the reality on the ground. We're looking at the models of how they can inform. But we also are learning very clearly from South Korea and from Italy and from Spain. Just a final, because I know many of you will look up my numbers. The only people who are over really 1 in 1,000 cases are people that have very small populations, like Monaco and Liechtenstein. So you will see a different number coming from when your population is really tiny. One case can put you over 1 to 1,000 or 2 to 1,000. Thank you.
Good. We'll do questions in a moment.